$88 billion, that's the estimated price tag to rebuild Iraq after a three-year war with ISIS. Iraqi officials have told an international donors meeting in Kuwait that housing is the most important issue. 40,000 homes need to be rebuilt in the second largest city of Mosul alone. Iraq declared victory over ISIS in December, having taken back all the territory captured by the militants in 2014 and 15. But billions of dollars of damage was done to Iraq's seven provinces, and so far only $300 million has been donated amid concerns about donor fatigue. Australia's foreign minister has been attending the donors' conference in Kuwait. We're going to hear from her after 7:30. But right now we're joined by Christina Hobbs. She's the head of operations for the UN World Food Programme in Iraq. She joins us from Erbil. Christina Hobbs, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning. How are you, Fran?
I'm well, thanks, Christina. $88 billion, that's US dollars. It's an enormous amount of money, but there's also been an enormous amount of damage inflicted on Iraq by ISIS. Where you are in Erbil, I believe you were in Mosul this week. How damaged is Mosul, for example?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity this week to actually go into western Mosul, which was the most damaged area of the city. And just entire suburbs have been completely obliterated. So in some areas, it's completely destroyed. And I think it's a difficult sort of sight to imagine, but I think the best way of doing it is to simply imagine what any of our cities would look like if an entire city had been blown up or bombed or destroyed. It's a complete jungle of concrete, iron and steel in many areas.
Is it salvageable, do you think? Can you imagine people one day living again in the rebuilt Mosul, or are there parts of the city where that would not be viable?
Yeah, I think driving through, it's really difficult to imagine in some areas. I don't think the world has ever actually attempted a cleanup effort that will be as challenging as this one. In the old town, for instance, you can't drive through because every building was demolished, and so the roads are completely covered. So it's very challenging to imagine how this can occur. I mean, I think, of course, it will occur. You know, in 10, 20, 30 years, we will be looking at a rebuilt Mosul. But obviously, this is going to be an enormous effort.
And with an enormous price tag. Iraq has published a list of about 157 projects that it's seeking investment for, including tens of thousands of homes, airports, hospitals, schools, roads, businesses. The Iraqi government can't do this alone. Foreign Minister Julie Bishop, we're going to hear from her later, she says at this conference in Kuwait, there was about 2,000 private enterprises, private companies there. So clearly private investment and private know-how is going to be the key to this, do you think?
You know, I think certainly there's going to have to be, you know, a mix of private sector involvement. I think heavy government involvement and the involvement of local private sector as well. And then, of course, a strong role for the international community and international organisations to monitor the effort and ensure that that the funding and the efforts are directed where they should be. So I think there's a big role for all actors. And certainly, you know, this is an important reconstruction and recovery effort that has to occur. And I think ensuring that adequate funding flows into Iraq to allow this to happen will be paramount to the success of the recovery.
And I imagine you've seen the impact of donor fatigue, firsthand. Can you imagine the world coming up with this figure, $88 billion? It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Iraq is also a middle-income country, so it does also have its own financial resources.
Yep.
But obviously there's a need to provide a greater level of support, both in terms of capacity and in terms of finance. I don't think that now is the time to be turning our backs on Iraq. And I think if we've learned anything from the last 3 or 4 years, it's that we really can't afford as an international community for this recovery and relief operation to fail.
It's 19 to 7. Christina Hobbs is our guest. She's the head of operations for the UN World Food Programme in Iraq. So this city of Mosul, let's just stick with Mosul. The picture you paint is completely non-functioning city. You can't even go into the old town. Where are the people, Christina?
You know, I mean, the tragedy of it is that many of the people are still in these demolished houses. We know that there was It was the strategy of IS to hold as many people from the community in the city as possible and force the government regime to attack civilians as they were attacking IS. So unfortunately, this is now a graveyard for thousands of people. On top of that, we have hundreds of thousands of people in camps across Iraq who are internally displaced within the country. Now, some of these people will be able to return if they receive some form of assistance. So some form of assistance to restart their livelihoods, to reconstruct their house or rehabilitate their homes. For others, it's going to take a lot longer. But there were some really encouraging signs. So I've spent the last couple of days with hundreds of teachers and principals from West Mosul who are really trying to get children back into schools. And with the World Food Programme, we're supporting this by providing school meals to children. And we've seen the schools that are half blown up, but half of the building is still structurally sound, or buildings where every building on the road is demolished, but one remaining structure has been turned into a school. So there is a real willingness amongst the population that has been able to return, or the population that has remained, to begin some kind of normal life again.
So even though the city itself is obliterated, as you described, people are trying to restart or maintain life in their city. And so they're operating in half-demolished buildings. Is it safe? Is it practical?
I think by our standards, we would certainly not consider this a safe environment, and particularly the security situation. While IS is technically defeated, we know there are still cells within the city as well. So the security situation itself is still of some concern. Obviously, with this much just pure rubble and mess and around, it's not a particularly safe environment, particularly for children. But on the other hand, people don't have anywhere else to go, and this is their homes. Their jobs are still in this city. We saw people setting up shops outside where the shops must have once stood. People are innovative. They want to begin and restore their lives again. And I think what Iraq is really asking of the international community is to provide that larger financial support, that Herculean effort to really really give these people a proper hand in doing so.
There must be many, many millions, though, who aren't able to live in their homes, and many thousands who are in camps. What's the situation with food, water and medical supplies in the cities, and for those who are in the camps? Where are the camps?
Certainly. So the camps are, really across Iraq, and we've seen some people going home, but obviously, some people just won't be able to return home. And I think on this issue of donor fatigue, it's a very important question. We've been providing life-saving food assistance, water assistance for years upon years. At the same time, we've had the huge crisis in Syria, huge crises across the Sahel, and the entire humanitarian system is really stretched as far as it can, and donors are having to decide between very great needs across different countries when they're placing those dollars. But as I said before, if we've learnt one thing from the experience of IS, it's when these communities are forgotten about, when the reconstruction effort doesn't happen after the conflict, that's when we start to see these other groups and these other militias forming. And I mean, ISIS, in terms of the territory that they held, may have gone, but in terms of a popular idea, it's still very much present. And the threat that idea could mutate into some other kind of military force will be ever present. And, I think that's why it's very important that, these efforts are undertaken and that this continued and ongoing support is provided.
So the reconstruction is very key to winning the peace.
Certainly. And I think, particularly in these neighbourhoods where they've suffered so much, and I think to really bring the country together or to have some attempt at bringing some kind of peace, that olive branch will have to be extended to the areas that have been worst affected by this conflict. And really trying to, as a nation, ensure that everyone can have a basic standard of living.
Okay. Christina Hobbs, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with your work there.
Thank you so much.
Christina Hobbs, Head of Operations for the UN World Food Programme in Iraq.